Dwelling On, where we dwell on all things thriving and surviving in this homemaker life. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to talk about raising independent kids. So in this episode, we're going to briefly discuss respectful parenting, Montessori style learning, baby-led weaning, and a bunch of other ways that we try to raise our kids to be independent. But let's backtrack a little bit. Let's first talk about last week's challenge. So last week we talked about spring fashion trends, even though neither one of us really have any authority on the fashion subject whatsoever.
Oh, definitely not.
No, but we challenged you to get out of your comfort zone last week and either try one of the new fashions or even just wear something perhaps a little bit brighter than the norm. Did you do any of these things?
I didn't.
Yeah, I totally didn't either.
I feel like the weather really dictates this for me here, because it was cold again this week.
Yeah.
And so all I wanted to do was wear leggings and sweatshirts.
I feel that.
And like, you know, all of my sweatshirts are gray and all of my leggings are black. So that's what I wore all week.
Yeah, I kind of feel that too. It actually hasn't been particularly warm here, and I have been so sick this week, pregnancy-wise. And honestly, I can't even wear leggings. I've only been wanting to put on like sweatpants because I can't even put anything tight, or like sometimes I don't even want to put on, is this TMI? I want to put on comfy undies instead of.
Oh, yes. That's not TMI.
Yeah.
I totally relate with that. I promise, though, it gets better.
Yes. So anyways, I was wearing like very frumpy clothes this week. And then today I filmed a video and it was my one chance to wear something bright and springy. And we filmed this morning outside and it was 45 degrees. So I didn't.
Oh, wow. That's cold for you right now.
It was pretty cold. And we were gardening. But it got, of course, by the end of the video, then it was 65. But still, while we were filming, it was a little chilly. So I was not wearing anything super bright.
Did you? I had a question for you and I forget what I was going to say. Yeah, definitely forget what I was going to say. Anyways. Oh my. I feel like my mom brain this time is way worse.
You know? Yeah. I can't remember.
Is that a thing?
Even when I was going to answer to that. So I think that's a thing.
Oh boy.
I think I'm getting a little bit of a cold as well. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I have been.
Do you think it's from the change in weather?
Probably. And I think the pollen here is really bad. Our cars are covered.
Oh, that would do it to me.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've never really had allergies before, but I haven't been here in the spring in a while. Moving to different states and dealing with all the allergies of different states is very interesting.
I know that you have a terrible memory, but I feel like we had a similar conversation when you moved to Alabama the first time.
Did I have allergies last time?
Yes. Because you're like, I've never had allergies before. This is terrible.
Must be it then.
I'm pretty sure.
So I don't know if this is the time of year for it or not. I don't know if it's spring or fall, but the weirdest allergy here is peanut dust because there's so many peanut crops. And so that's just a weird thing that I've never grown up with, was peanut allergies in the air. I'm not allergic to peanuts, like eating them, but apparently the dust from them creates this kind of allergy for a lot of people.
That's so interesting.
Very strange.
Alabama.
Anyways, let's get into this week's topic. So I've been wanting to talk about just different kinds of ways that we're trying to raise our kids for a while now. And I came upon this article and I sent it to Amanda, and the article was an NPR article and it's been floating around Facebook. I've seen it several places now, so you guys may have seen it as well. It's basically talking about how in America we're raising particularly unhelpful children, which I get. So it talks about basically that oftentimes we are too quick to just do something for our kids because obviously we can do it faster, better, less messy, whatever. And we don't even give them the opportunity to do so. And it talks about how this can really be squashed in toddlerhood. And then it makes them later on, you know, roll their eyes when you ask them to do these things or not even want to offer to help to do these things. And I thought that was interesting because I do see that in Jack right now. So at this age, he wants to be helpful. I don't know if you experienced that at all, Amanda.
Big time. He wants to help with anything that we're doing, especially like vacuuming or mopping the floor, which, hey, I did both of those today.
I'm impressed.
My floors are clean.
Wow. We Anyways. Tracked mud in and mine are not, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, we've been playing outside a lot and it's really muddy right now. So It was necessary. But yeah, he wants to be very helpful. And I can totally see how it's basically just that we're impatient. We don't want to wait for them to help us do whatever it is that we're doing.
Yes. And I have to catch myself with this all the time because especially with Jack, he wants to be up on the counter when I'm cooking and he's still not quite there yet. I'm pretty sure he would just stick his hand on the stove. I really do. But he can help with certain things and he loves to help doing the dishes. But of course, then everything gets soaking wet and then I'm wet and then everything's a mess and it takes twice as long. But there's no reason that he can't help if he wants to help. So this is that kind of thing that I, you know, need to work on, I think, to just make sure that he is helping more often. And I do it quite a bit. I would say that, you know, 7 times out of 10, I let him help with whatever he wants to help with. But I do find myself, you know, getting frustrated. And I do 100% see how a lot of parents just say, let me just do that, go away, whatever.
It's just crazy when you dig deeper into what we're doing, how much it can affect them as they grow older. You just don't think about those things unless you're living it, unless you're doing the research, I guess, to back it up. Because a lot of times, like, I'm sure our parents didn't think twice about it.
No.
And we've talked about this before, like what is changing? And I'm sure we didn't come up with the answer, but it's hard to pinpoint why we want to learn more than maybe our parents did as far as the background goes to what we're doing and what we're teaching our children.
Yeah. And I think access to information is just easier. So like, I probably wouldn't go to a library and check out a book on any of these topics, but I listen to Audible books almost every day when I'm on a walk. I found this article on Facebook as I was browsing.
That's a really good point. So it's just in our faces.
Yeah. You can't get away from it. So a lot of the things we're going to talk about today, first of all, we are not experts on any of these topics. And these are all just things that I think both Amanda and I share in ways that we are going to be trying to raise our kids. Obviously, our kids are still young, though. We don't know. They could turn out, I don't know, hopefully not serial killers, but they could turn out to be little brats. They could turn out to be little jerks. We don't know yet. So I guess this is an experiment, but some of these, you know, styles of learning, especially like Montessori, have been around for many years now and do have things to back them up. And of course, there's actually things against Montessori as well. So I do want to talk a little bit about that. But circling back to the article, I basically said that there are two ways that you can, you know, raise your kid to be more helpful and be a child who grows up wanting to be a member of the family, wanting to help without being asked. And the first is just simply to let them do things for themselves. So for me, this is like a really simple one that I could do with Jack. So in the morning, we go on a walk every day. He knows where his coat is. He knows where his shoes are. Well, we don't always use shoes, but if we're in the stroller, but he knows where Dakota's leash is. So I could just let Jack get all these things himself. You know, it will take a little bit longer, but they are all in drawers. He can reach them. It's all very easy access and child safe where everything is. And I think that that's part of it. And we'll talk about Montessori a little bit, is setting things up so your kids can do them themselves. And then the second part of the article talks about setting little tasks and not big ones. So you're not going to go tell your toddler, go clean your room or go pick up your toys, because especially at that age, that's not going to happen. But it's little things like, could you help me with this? Could you stir that pot for me while you're doing something? Maybe I'm cooking in the kitchen. Jack loves throwing things in the trash can. So I could open something up, and instead of just throwing it in the trash can, I could give it to him to put in the trash can. So basically partaking in tasks that you're already doing and giving them little subsets of the tasks is a really good way to go for younger children.
Yeah, I mean, and it all makes so much sense, but also on the flip side of that, I can totally see why parents don't let their kids go get their shoes and bring them to you to put them on and go get their hat to bring them. It'll take forever. Right. We go through this basically every day when we're getting ready to go outside. When I ask Victor to go get those things for me, or for him to be able to put on, it does take so much longer. But for me and where we're at in life, those extra few minutes aren't changing anything for us. And I think that that's mostly because of the pandemic, because we're not going anywhere. We don't have a time schedule on when we need to leave the house. So we have the time for him to go get them, or, you know, go to his room and bring me a pair of socks or whatever it is, because we don't have to leave at a certain time. So there's no time crunch there, which I think is very helpful when it comes to this sort of helpfulness.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And, you know, of course, there are going to be times when we just simply can't let them do certain things for themselves. We just got to go, or something's got to be done, or it's not safe for them to help, whatever it might be. But I think that the key to this is just being mindful. If you have the time, maybe let them, you know, help a little bit more.
Definitely. Mindfulness is huge here.
And so when I was going down this rabbit hole of articles, I found another article that said, don't raise your kids to be independent. And I'm like, okay, now what are they telling us to do? But basically what this person was saying is still raise your kids to be self-reliant. So doing the things that we are saying, but don't raise your kid to be independent from you. Because as human beings, we do need to be dependent on each other. And especially at young ages, if your kid can't be dependent on you for certain things, then they're going to find dependence on something else, whether it is their peers or like social norms. I don't know exactly what the word was that they used, but society in general and societal norms. And so we do want them to be dependent on us for certain things. The things that they talked about that we want them to be dependent on us for are their cognitive skills. So helping them make decisions, especially when they are young. This one is big for me, emotional. So regulating their emotions, but also being allowed to have those big emotions. And that's part of respectful parenting. Letting them be frustrated and angry, and also modeling, you know, how they should regulate their emotions. Behavioral, so showing them, you know, kind of showing them through action what we want them to be doing. Interpersonal, so social skills. And I think that a big part of that is us being social ourselves and showing good communication. And then practical, like still doing things for them that they can't do themselves, like laundry, meals, whatever that might be. So that's all basic stuff. And so I just wanted to clarify here that by independent, we don't necessarily mean that we want to send our kids off early, or, you know, we still want our kids to be very close to us. We want them to be reliant on us for a lot of things, but being independent doesn't mean that they can't be dependent on us.
I like it. Yeah. And the two things that stick out to me, like you said, the emotional part. That one I've been looking into a lot, and Because I feel like mental health is so super important and it's been overlooked for so many years. And I think that that's really huge in it, letting them have those big feelings that they want or need to have and letting them know that it's okay. And then the interpersonal things, like teamwork. And I think that that comes from, I feel like a lot of times the mom and dad seeing that they can work together.
Yeah.
Or being around their grandparents and seeing their grandparents or whatever it is. I think that teamwork is huge. At least teamwork for me growing up was huge.
Absolutely. And with the emotional, I think that with us both raising boys, at least for our first kids, we don't know what the second ones are. But Amanda and I had earlier discussed, you know, a lot of men do have a lot of trouble expressing their emotions. And it's part of it, I think, is because they're grown up to say, you know, suck it up, be a man, that kind of thing. And you don't even think that these things are really happening. But like, even you probably hear it regularly, like, oh, you're a big boy, you don't need to do that, you don't need to be upset, you're a big boy. Well, actually, they are upset. Let them be upset. So we can actually probably do a whole nother episode on respectful parenting. If you do want any specific episodes on any of these topics, whether it's a whole Montessori episode or a whole respectful parenting episode, let us know on Instagram, because I think it'd be interesting to dive deeper into some of these topics. Today, we're kind of going to brush over the surface of a lot of them. But with respectful parenting, oh gosh, there's so much that goes into it. My favorite, well, there's a couple, I guess, people that I looked up to. Oh gosh, I'll have to look up the one. But Janet Lansbury is one for sure. She is like, I feel like one of the originals. One that a lot of people follow on Instagram, if you're interested in following somebody on Instagram, is Big Little Feelings.
Yeah, Big Little Feelings is fantastic for the emotional side of things.
Yes. Oh, and then one of my favorite ones, her Instagram is Dr. Becky at Home. So she is really good. She's just like a really calming source. She always gets on like either stories or reels or whatever, and just is like very calm. And a lot of it not only is teaching respectful parenting to your kids, but learning why some of these things are harder for you and looking at maybe how you were raised. Not to say that our parents did anything wrong or anything, that's not where I'm going with this, but looking at maybe why you are the way you are and why, you know, why we teach our kids to be a certain way.
There's just so much information out there and it's hard to sort through it all.
Yes.
And figure out, and also to make sure that you're not looking too deeply into things too, I feel like is hard, because you don't want to like get trapped in the feeling of every day thinking, oh my gosh, am I doing this right? Am I hurting my child by telling them, you know, that they shouldn't be crying right now or that they're fine? Like, that is a big one, you know, like you're fine. And then you move on. You're not justifying whatever it is that's happening.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do it.
Oh, yeah.
You're and okay. It's hard.
You're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, you fell. Oh, you're okay. And I know that there are studies behind that that show that you should let them have their feelings. But sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
Right. And really then hard. You feel like you're overanalyzing your parenting, and that's not healthy either.
No. Absolutely not. So I think that always having these things in the back of your mind and always trying to do better is important. But, you know, a lot of people with respectful parenting are like, you never tell your kid no. Well, that's not true. Like, I do tell my kid no all the time. Amanda witnessed me the other day, and I probably yelled at Jack a little bit more than I should have, but he kept hitting me in the face. And so
that's a hard one. That's so hard.
No. Yep.
That's Victor with the dog.
Yeah. Some things
so hard.
Yeah, some things we are a little more strict on than others here, and all the time I make mistakes, and I think that correcting them is important. So I'm very quick to yell. I don't know what it is, but I just want to scream all the time. I don't know why, what it's in me, but
That's so crazy to hear, because I would have never thought that you would be a yeller. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying that you're doing a bad job. I'm just saying it's surprising, because you don't come off as being like this overly emotional, well, on the inside you are, but not like outwardly. Yeah.
No, and I'm not angry.
Right. You're not an angry person.
The dog and at the baby. When I have a lot of audio sensory issues. So when there's a lot of noise going on, I lose it. I just lose everything. I've figured out that that's my trigger. Like, number one, like, sometimes I freak out, like, say if like the TV's on and then Josh will turn something on his phone and then the baby's making noise, I will literally lose my mind. Like, I have to turn everything off and just have silence for a minute. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's when I'm quick to yell. But what I'm trying to say is that apologizing, you know, talking through things. Right now I understand that Jack's a little bit too young to understand me apologizing or saying that I'm doing things wrong, but it's a good habit to get into. So say I do have an outburst or something, even though I know I shouldn't, going back later, and especially as he gets older, discussing with him, be like, hey, mommy had a lot of big feelings, you know, that probably wasn't really the way that I should have gone about expressing those big feelings. What do you think mommy could have done better? And just talking about it and be like, you know, mommy makes mistakes too. You'll make mistakes too. That's okay. No big deal. It is what it is. So this kind of brings me to the topic. I just wanted to talk briefly about ways that you can, like, practical ways that you can teach your kid to be a little bit more independent that are, we won't go into more about respectful parenting because that is a deep, deep topic. But
oh, yeah. And the one thing that I just wanted, sorry, to get off is that there is no perfect parent. And that's what I was getting to. Like, all of us have our flaws and all of us make mistakes. But like you were getting to, as long as you can recognize that you have this flaw or that you've made these mistakes and you can talk about it, that's the part that we're looking for.
Absolutely. But I think that, I don't want to say that these are more fun ways that we can address this topic of independence, but really practical is Montessori style teaching. And I think that a lot of people get Montessori wrong in so many ways, because it's obviously super popular right now. It's all over the internet. And I think that people have this misconception that Montessori means wooden toys, which it does not at all. By any means, would you believe that the wooden rainbow is in fact not a Montessori toy at all? In fact, it goes against Montessori teaching completely. It's actually a Waldorf toy, which I really like Waldorf as well, but Waldorf is more about creating more creative, feeling intuitive children, which is not the topic of today's discussion. So that's why we were just talking about Montessori today. And I will say that neither Amanda or I practice this solely whatsoever. There are some things that I think we probably don't agree with in the Montessori teaching. Something that I don't agree with in the Montessori teaching is that they don't teach any fantasy at all until the age of 6, or maybe it's 7. Because it does make sense. Kids until that age actually can't separate fantasy from reality. So they might, if we teach them about dragons, they're going to think the dragons are real. Fairies, real, like just anything like that. But I don't really have any problem with any of that kind of stuff. I think that I don't really care if they think that those things are real.
Yeah. I mean, good for you. Think that dinosaurs exist still. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Let's go outside and see some dinosaurs. I mean, dinosaurs are real, but
pterodactyl. Oh, that's true. But like, they don't exist anymore.
Right. But so a lot of people get Montessori wrong, thinking that it's just like, I don't know. I just want to put it out there. There can be a lot of wooden toys that are not Montessori, and there's a lot of non-wooden toys that are Montessori. Basically, what Montessori boils down to is having kids learn how to be independent. It teaches them how to do, like, in play, a lot of small tasks. It's very task-oriented. usually it's one task at a time, very simple. And it does breed a lot of concentration, but I will say that most of our toys are not Montessori style. We do have a few, but they're really not. But I think where Amanda and I both practice Montessori style is in the everyday practical life skills. So in Montessori, the child would start to learn how to brush their teeth themselves, learn how to brush their hair themselves, learn how to do the cooking, put on their own jacket when they are able. Just everyday life skills. And I think that one of our ways, Amanda and I both have learning towers in our kitchens. So those are really helpful. Basically what it is a really sturdy, tall stool that lets your toddler get up on the get up to the counter height so they can be a part of whatever you're doing in the kitchen. I think that that is really helpful.
Yeah, so that one was really big for me. Yeah, because I really wanted Victor to be able to see what I was doing in the kitchen. We spent a lot of our time in the kitchen, mm-hmm. right? So like I cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Especially since Vic is home, we eat together as a family for pretty much every meal. So, you know, Vic will be working and I'll call down to the office downstairs and say, hey, breakfast is ready, and he'll come up. So during that time, Victor's in the kitchen with me mm-hmm. When I'm getting it ready. And it was super important for me to be able to have Victor with me and me being able to explain what I'm doing to him so that he learns. And it's also really helpful because then he's not in the living room doing
who knows what,
that I can't see. Yeah, right. Exactly. So actually Vic built hours, and it's because he knew that it was important to me. So it was like our Valentine's Day present mm-hmm. to like Victor and I, because it's meaningful to both of us to be able to spend that time together in the kitchen, because that's where I spend a lot of my day.
Absolutely. And the learning tower just makes
it safe. That one was super important.
But I know a lot of people, they just right. have their kids pull up a chair. It's really up to you and your comfort level. And it's also up to you and your comfort level what you let them help you with. Because in the Montessori world, I follow a ton of groups on Facebook. At Jack's age, a lot of the kids are already cooking certain things, scrambling their own eggs. I don't think Jack's ready for that yet. I think maybe a child actually like Victor might be ready for that sooner than Jack. It just really depends on your child, and this is where your intuition needs to come in. If you don't think your kid's ready to use the stove yet, then just don't have them use the stove. I did hold Jack the other day and I held the spatula in his hand and I kind of did it for him with it in his hand so he can start to see the things, but he's not ready yet. But like I said, he is ready to get up there and do the dishes with me. So we do that right now. So really use yeah. your own intuition. You know your child. Who knows? Maybe my next child will be super interested in the cooking and be able to get it right away. You know, you have to follow the child, which is one of the sayings of Montessori, is following the child's lead. So whatever they might be interested in, maybe you don't have time to have them help with every task during the day, but you find that your child is particularly interested in getting dressed in the morning. Well, then make sure that everything in your child's room is at their level so they can get out their own clothes. They can pick out their own thing. They can put on their own shoes. Just pick that one thing that your child's most interested in and really lean into that.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, the toddler's walk, is that considered Montessori?
What is it?
The toddler's walk.
I don't know what that is.
Like when you're walking outside with your toddler and you walk at their pace.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That is Montessori. So
that's one that we have been focusing on a lot more lately because we've been outside more. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, take a stroll down the sidewalk and it takes us 10 times longer than it would if it were him and his stroller and Vic and I walking at our pace. But it's so fun to watch him explore this like new world.
Yeah,
it's like, since he's walking and exploring, he looks at all the cracks in the sidewalk and he makes sure that like when he steps over it, that he's making it fully over it. And he points out the fire hydrant and all of the sticks on the ground and the snow, and he'll hear a bird that he normally, if like he was in a stroller, he probably wouldn't recognize as much because he's not on the floor or on the ground.
Yeah. So for
that's a big one for us.
For those who don't know, basically what she means is it's just letting the child lead the pace of the walk instead of always being on a mission. So often when we go for a walk in the stroller, we're kind of on a mission. We're like, okay, we're going to walk around the block and you just go. And this is just kind of letting them go in any direction, letting them, you know, observe things along the way. We do this for Jack when we go on a trail and there's not cars, but Jack likes to run. So he doesn't really stop and look at things. When we're on a walk in the neighborhood, he likes to just run right into the street or run as fast as he can down the sidewalk. And I can't catch him right now because I'm out of breath and pregnant. Even though I'm not big yet, I still can't breathe. But if we actually go on like a hiking trail, then he's better about that. And I know he's not going to run into a car. So I just let him go a little farther than I would if it was on the street. So that's something that I would like to get to do more with him, because it is really interesting to see where they'll go. And I do find myself, so even if we go to a park and I let him do this, I do find myself, I guess, trying to hone his experience on what I think it should be. So if he's at the park, he's honestly not always interested in the playground equipment. He might be interested in the ground or the sky, always the sky with the helicopters right now. But I'm like, why don't you get on slide? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But he doesn't necessarily see it that way. And he doesn't have to play with those things that way. Just letting him play with it however he wants to.
Right. Yeah. And like, if he wants to go up the slide the other way, let him go up the slide the other way.
Let him go up the slide the other way. So many people tried to fight. Somebody posted about this the other day on Facebook. But so many people try to fight their kids going up the slide the wrong way. As long as no one's getting hurt, just let your kid play on it however they want. Amanda and I used to climb on the top of the slide when it was a tube slide.
Oh, always.
Yeah. We climbed.
Oh, the memories.
I don't even remember ever falling or getting hurt.
No. We played fishy in the sea.
Yes.
With our eyes closed.
Yeah. Seriously.
Do you remember the time where we put the hose down the tube slide?
I feel like that was the same day as your head injury.
Oh, it might have been.
I swear, because I remember like the hose still being there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. But
we were so young. I think that I also had some trauma from you getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
The blood in me. It was bad.
It was bad. Yep. Anyways.
So, along with Montessori, something else that Amanda and I both have done that I think helps our kids be a little bit more independent is baby-led weaning. So, baby-led weaning, there's a lot that goes into it, and we're not going to get deep into this topic here of how to do it safely and all that kind of stuff. We're not experts on the matter. But basically from 6 months on, we kind of let our kid, I want to say, eat whatever we eat, but of course this is within reason. We started off with certain foods, one food at a time to make sure there's no allergies. Like I said, I don't want to get too far into the details, but basically this is letting your kid eat solid foods instead of baby foods all the time. And also just really trying to get your kid to eat whatever is on the dinner table, whatever, you know, at least a part of whatever you're eating. Oftentimes we'll have something that I know he won't like, but he'll at least have most of the components of the meal that we're eating.
Right. Yeah. This one was really, really big for me because I really like to eat. I really like everything that goes into cooking and the food and the smells and everything. And I wanted to raise a child that appreciated it also.
Yeah.
So him eating whatever it was that we were eating and having, I don't know what the right word is, but like appreciating it. I'm not saying that he appreciates it, but I think that eventually he will.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I think with this one, you do have to be under the realization that toddlers do go through certain phases. So when Jack was a super little baby, he ate everything that I gave him. Then for a while, he didn't like certain things, and then he'll like those things again, and then he doesn't like other things. But always offering it, I think, is really important, and not just giving up and being like, fine, then just eat this. You know, kind of course, we still all succumb to the snacks all the time. But I think just making sure that they're not every single meal offered a separate meal. Sometimes if Josh and I have something super spicy, he will get a totally separate meal. He has been more interested in a little bit spicy things lately. There's nothing actually wrong with giving your kids something super spicy as long as it's not going to burn their mouth in any way. Right. It's just whether they like it or not. Yeah, so I think that, you know, like we said, with everything, there's a little bit of give and take, but this is also the reason why I'm starting to grow a lot of my own food this year. And I know that Jack is too young to really understand it now, but I think that as he grows up, I'm hoping that if he sees me grow it, and he helps me grow it, then he will be a lot more likely to eat it. So I see like all these farmers' kids all the time on YouTube, and they just like grab a tomato out of the garden and gnaw on it. Like they'll grab anything out of the garden and just start eating it as a snack as they're running around and playing. And that's like my dream.
Definitely. My parents are getting chickens.
Are they really?
Yep. My mom said that she wants 3 of them.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm super excited for her to have chickens, and she gets to take care of them, and Victor just gets to like hang out with them and eat the eggs, because we love eggs. Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. I think that that'll be a cool experience for him.
I didn't know,
being that it's
in their city, they could.
Yeah, you have to have a. I think you have to have a certain amount of land.
Yeah, they do have a very big backyard.
And they bought the lot next door.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So that helps a lot also. Mm-hmm. So yes, we are looking forward to that. Our whole family is looking forward to that.
That's super cool. Is your dad gonna build the chicken coop?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Very so, cool. It is my dream to have chickens, but I obviously cannot while living on a military base. That is against the rules. But someday I am hoping to have them.
Well, I'll let my mom learn all of the things and then she can help you.
Perfect. You don't think you'd want them? You guys have enough yard.
We do. I'm not ready to take care of them yet.
Yeah. I understand. Maybe. That, especially when, with little babies.
Yeah. Maybe when they get just a little bit older, almost like having a pet.
Yeah.
You know, you want your kids to be able to take care of them if you're starting like from scratch.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I wouldn't get a puppy right now.
No. God, no.
But
you should see in the video that I filmed today. Oh, Dakota, my dog has so much anxiety. She was crying at the shovel the whole time. So Josh was pouring the bags in and I was mixing the compost and the soil with the shovel, and she's just crying, chasing it the whole time, like terrified of the shovel. I'm like, okay, yeah, we definitely won't be having any more pets anytime soon. I love Dakota with all my heart, by the way, but no, cannot handle raising another animal.
Right. I mean, it takes about as much time and patience as raising a baby. They just don't last as long, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, I don't have that time right now to spend on chickens, but hopefully someday, yes, that would be awesome.
For sure. So this was a pretty brief episode over all these topics, but I just wanted to get some of this information out there if it's anything that you've been thinking about doing. Obviously, Amanda and I don't think that we have all of the answers to any of this stuff. And like I said, our kids are still young. We have no idea how they're going to turn out. And of course, every single day we are doing new things that we always said that we would never do.
100%.
Yes. So I just think these are all really interesting things to think about. And I would love to, you know, create a discussion with any of you on these things. If you're interested in any of these topics that we've talked about, like I said, let us know on Instagram and we can actually dedicate a longer episode and a more in-depth and well-researched episode on talking about some of these things together. And if you're really interested in one of them, then come on and talk to us. All you have to have basically are headphones and ability to Zoom, and you can be on an episode with us. So we would love for one of you to join us if you'd like. So for this week's challenge, if you do have kids or grandkids or whatever it may be, I just want you to let your child do something that you would normally do yourself because it's just going to take them forever. So catch yourself and be like, you know what? You go ahead and do this, or ask their help for something that, you know, is very obvious that you could do for yourself, but just ask for their help and you'll see that they sometimes light up and love to be helpful at a young age. So that is all for this week. As I said, join us on Instagram at Dwelling On Podcast. Until next time, friends. Cheers.
Cheers.